Welcome to the Sound Words Podcast, where it's our goal to help Christians love and live out God's Word. My name is Pastor Aaron Nicholson. I'm here with Pastor Jesse Randolph, and today we're talking about church. In 1973, a Gallup poll measured that 73% of Americans attended a church, a synagogue, or mosque. That number remained high for the following six decades until the turn of the 21st century. In 2005, the rate started to decline, and for the first time in 2020, the number of Americans who attended church fell below 50%. So every year, people seem to be taking less of an interest in church. Pastor Jesse, why do you think this is happening?
Well, there's a few reasons I think we could throw out right away as potential reasons why we're seeing less people come to church and showing less of an interest in church. One would simply be religious apathy. You know, in our day, it's well known that the percentage of what are called religious nuns, and not nuns like Catholic nuns, nuns like N-O-N-E-S, is increasing. People who say they have no religious affiliation, people who have been sucked into the sort of progressive deterioration of morality in the world, people that are bought into so-called liberal and progressive way of thought. And I don't mean political in that context. I mean just advancing the philosophically progressive liberal agenda of the marketplace of ideas, and there's no one truth, and everything is truth, and your truth is your truth, and my truth is my truth. That has contributed certainly to the religious apathy and the disinterest in attending church. We live in the time of moral relativism, and there are just countless options, just like there are countless flavors of chips and soda, excuse me, pop, on the grocery store shelves. In our day and age, there's multiple religions to choose from, or no religion at all to choose from. And that, I think, is part of it. So part of it is, I think, is apathy. And now we're on this topic of not attending church or not showing interest in church. I think another reason is idolatry. People have a wrong view of who God is, or people have created little idols in their hearts to worship. And sometimes those little idols are actually really cute, like children. And so little Johnny or little Susie is playing Sunday morning soccer, and that's a much bigger deal to them than being in the house of the living God. I mean, we moved here from California, as everybody knows, about 4 or 5 months ago, and we thought California is the bastion of idolatry, sports idolatry, and children idolatry. And in Nebraska, it'll be different. It's no different. People still in our great state, you can just see the seeping in of the cultural way of leaving every day open, including the Lord's Day, to do things like sign kids up for sports or take art classes or, you name it, anything other than go to church. And that's just a sad reality of the times in which we live. So apathy is one, that the religious nun culture, idolatry meaning worshiping things or people other than the living God, is another one, which feeds into another reason I think this is happening. And the only word I came up with for this is mortality, meaning people are spiritually dead. Meaning they're a major reason why people don't go to church, of course, is that those people don't know God. They have not come to faith in Jesus Christ. They don't know that God's people are called to worship God because they aren't God's people. They have yet to have a gospel conversion. They've yet to be made new in Jesus Christ. And so we can't expect non-believers to act like believers, so they don't, and they'll not be here. So those are a few reasons that I can think of off the top as to why we're seeing a decline in church, not only attendance, but church interest.
Yeah, I think what you said with the myriad of options, there's soccer games, there's so many activities on the weekend, so many things compete for our attention. People choose those things, revealing where their heart was at the whole time, not knowing God. Well, you know, shifting the focus to believers then, what are some problems that believers have with church today? People who know they should be in church, what kind of problems do believers have in church today?
Yeah, and I would say these are people, there are problems for people who don't go to church and problems for people who do go to church. One would be the fact that people in our day are more and more distracted, bored, and disengaged. It is scientifically provable that we have the shortest attention span of any previous generation. That's why, except for our church, maybe, and other churches of our ilk, sermons are going from 60 minutes to 40 minutes to 20 minutes to 10-minute sermonettes, you know, little
homilies.
Wait,
hold that hour.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Sometimes 62 minutes. Yeah, the kids ministry is not too happy with that one. But yeah, so we have this culturally, we're shortening in our attention span. There's a famous book from actually a few decades ago now called The Closing of the American Mind. Yeah, that could also be subtitled the shortening of the American attention span. The dumbing down of the American culture, right? Or really the whole world. Mm-hmm. You know, everything that's happening around us is getting shorter and shorter and briefer to give us kind of that digital hit of information that we want right away, whether it be a social media, a little, you know, Instagram reel, or a sermon that's shorter, or a news story that's briefer. That's what everybody craves. They always tell you when you're doing media, and here we are doing media, go shorter, tighter, more concise, to cater to the needs of people who have less and less attention span. Mm-hmm. That's sad, but that's the reality of the people that will now they'll be coming to churches in our day. So one is distraction. That's an issue or a problem that people have with church today. Another I would say is comfort and conflict avoidance. Mm-hmm. So, you know, comfort and conflict avoidance would mean, you know, people may stay away from church because they know the preacher is going to get up there and confront them with the word of God about sin that might be resident in their heart, and they don't want to hear it. They'd rather have the football game on. They'd rather mow the lawn. They'd rather go get brunch than hear some guy, that's how they would look at it, tell them what's wrong with them, or tell them what the Bible says is wrong with them. Some might have a heart that is hard, and they know it, and they're comfortable with it, and they just don't want to be called out. They don't want to step out of their comfort zone. They don't want to lead their wife the way they're called to lead if it's a husband. They don't want to raise their kids the way the Bible instructs parents to raise their kids. They don't want to step out of the web of lies that they're caught in. They'd rather take the easy route and just stick with the sin that they're in. Another reason is conflict avoidance. Not wanting to deal with issues that they have with people at the church. So rather than having a conversation, maybe even a hard conversation about what's happening with somebody in the body of Christ, they'd rather stay home and just kind of let the, bury the hatchet is kind of the human way, or the worldly way of saying it, or just let it blow over. The biblical way is to go to your brother and confront and work it out and seek forgiveness. That's too hard, though. That takes attention. That takes investment for the modern person. A last one I'll mention is consumerism. I mean, again, I mentioned, you know, chip flavors and soda pop flavors, but we live in this highly consumer-driven culture. You know, I go to this church for my preaching, and I go to this church for Wednesday night, and I go to this church for ladies' Bible study, and I go to this church for my husband's men's Bible study. That's not how church is designed to function, where you kind of pick from the menu of options or pick from a buffet of local churches until you get just what you want. It isn't chips. It isn't pop. So, no, it's fellowshipping with an assembly of believers in a local body. So I think that consumer-driven culture that we live in has heightened the level of critique and criticism that people bring. You know, people are very quick. And I'm not saying in our church, I'm speaking very generically about church life in general. Yeah. They'll be quick to criticize the message. The pastor didn't preach it the way, you know, this other pastor preached it, or didn't preach it like he preached it last week. They'll be critical of leadership. You know, what kind of fools are running this place? They'll be critical of music. You know, the drums were too loud. Why is a keytar up there on the stage? They'll be critical of people. They never talk to me. They just think they're so good. They're always dressed so nice. I bet they've got something going on under the surface. They're critical of programs. You know, why do they still have that old program? Why don't they have a knitting club? Why don't they have a businessman's club? And you name it. It's that consumer-driven, why am I not getting what I want out of this place mentality that applies to the marketplace that gets introduced to the church. And that's dangerous. Here's the last one, pride. A reason somebody doesn't come to church or disengages from the church could be pride. I don't need it. I could preach a better sermon than that guy. I can worship God in my pajamas. I can watch church online. I can go home and just be the pastor of my own home and not submit to local elders in a local church body. I don't need it. Well, that's a deadly mix. we do need to be in fellowship with other believers. We do need to be sitting under the word of God preached. We do need to sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs together and gather as an assembly of God's people. So those are a few. I had listed pride and consumerism, conflict avoidance, distraction, boredom, disengagement. I could probably go on and on.
And I think that's so helpful. Whether or not we've thought through all those reasons, I think they're there for so many people. And just to uncover those and draw them to our attention is helpful. So maybe now to counter that, then let's look at the positive side. What is the purpose of a local church according to the Bible?
I would start with 1 Timothy 3:15, which says that the church is the pillar and support of the truth. The church is a place where believers are instructed in truth, truth that comes from God's word, truth that as believers, we are now trained, we are taught all that Christ commanded us in Matthew 28:18-20. We're equipped as saints for the work of ministry, the work of service, as Ephesians 4 says. As truth is presented and proclaimed in the church context, believers are presented mature in Christ, as Colossians 1:28 says. That means raising up in the local church context, pastors and elders who will shepherd in accordance with the truth. That means praying as a church that truth will land on soft and receptive hearts. That means sharing the truth of the gospel, going out into the world and proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified to the unbeliever. So to answer your question, Aaron, the purpose of the local church is instruction in truth, building up in truth through the word of truth. Church is not for the unbeliever, though many churches get that wrong. Church is for the believer. It's an assembly, a set apart community of redeemed people who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The church is an assembly of Christians. Now, certainly, a metaphor for Christians is we're sheep. So we come to church struggling sometimes, limping sometimes, hurting sometimes, but we come here to be bound up, to have our wounds bound up and cared for and tended to by the word of truth. Now, does that mean we're closing our doors to unbelievers? Absolutely not. Anybody is welcome to come in through these doors and hear the truth. And if they're not believers, if they're outside the sheepfold, they'll hear the gospel and prayerfully hear that message of salvation through Christ, be called into the sheepfold and respond in repentance and faith and be welcomed into the family of God. But back to your question, that the purpose of the church is to be instructed in truth.
Hmm. Yeah, I love that. And 1 Timothy 3:15, spot on. The church is the pillar and support of the truth. The church is a truth center. I like the way you describe that. Just makes me think of, you know, other establishments, right? A library is for books, a grocery store is for food. The church is for truth.
That's right.
And that's where you go to get truth.
Right. And again, that's such a countercultural concept today.
Yeah.
Truth is so, it's been so relativized, so watered down. You ask the common man on the street, what is truth? And you might get one of those Pontius Pilate type answers. Yeah. What is truth? Well, we have truth. Truth is found in Jesus Christ, in His word, and we proclaim Him here.
And so many people want to make church something else, something of their own design, a charitable organization, or just a place to serve, like volunteer, a place to be entertained. But you hit it spot on. A church is the pillar and support of the truth. Pastor Jesse, what are some things we can do before Sunday to get the most out of church?
I love the way the question is phrased, before Sunday.
Yeah.
So it's not assuming that we just kind of show up like we're showing up to the swimming pool and just jumping in.
Right.
Right? There's preparation that goes into this. A few things. One, it would be to prepare for Sunday, before Sunday, would be to pray for your church, to show up prayed up. Pray for the pastors and elders, the leaders, the teachers, the deacons, the various volunteers and workers around the church. We should be praying not just for me in our context as the guy that preaches on Sunday, but we should be praying for the security team. We should be praying for the children's workers, praying for those who...
Especially for the children's workers.
Absolutely.
You and I have kids in there.
Amen. Pray for the music team. Pray for Twyla in the bookstore. Pray for all the various people who minister and deploy their gifts here and wherever your church is. That will engage and prepare your heart to worship faithfully on Sunday morning. Next, I'd say read and meditate upon the text that's going to be preached that Sunday. Here, you know, obviously preaching on Sunday, but I'm trying to release the title and the text of what I'll preach that Sunday by Wednesday or Thursday, so a few days ahead of time. So I'd encourage our people to read that text, think on it, chew on it, pray through it, and ask for God to illuminate it so that when you show up to hear it preached on Sunday, you're even more engaged and equipped to hear it and then apply it. Third, I'd say confess and repent of sin before you show up. You know, don't come to church with a compromised and divided heart. Don't come to church, you know, making nice as you've fought with your spouse all the way to church and then pretend that all is okay. Don't come to church with some dark corner of the closet that you know you need to clean out, but you refuse to. Instead, you just come here and play church. I'm not, by the way, saying don't come to church as a blanket statement, like don't come to church when we just said you should come to church. I want you to come to church. We want you to come to church and benefit from the preaching of the word and the fellowship of God's people. What I am saying, though, is put off and put away any compromised practices or beliefs before you walk in the door.
That's very helpful. Just a practical question then. I mean, if you do have that fight with your spouse, you haven't had it resolved, would you recommend staying home from church to get it resolved?
I would recommend keeping short accounts. I would recommend seeking that forgiveness right away. I would recommend not forsaking the assembly of believers if you're both believers. Mm-hmm. I would recommend saying we can still talk about how we can work through this better next time and more effectively next time and honor the Lord next time better through this. I would not say skip church. I would say work even faster to resolve that conflict before church. But that goes back to what we're saying about making sure you're prepared the night before, the day before.
Yeah.
You know, not thinking of church as only I just stumble out of bed and show up at church. That in fact could lead to conflict in the home if you're just kind of frenetically and frantically running out the door. But again, I kind of alluded to it just now, but I think preparation for church needs to begin Saturday night. Gird up your minds and your hearts spiritually in preparation for what's going to happen on Sunday. I can't lay down a law about this, but prepare yourselves physically. Pick out and press your clothes if you press your clothes before church. Don't go to bed at 1:30 in the morning.
Huh.
Right?
That's an idea.
Yeah, go to get a good night's sleep. Don't scramble out the door like you're on Sunday morning, like you're firemen going out to put out a 5-alarm fire. No, go out because on Sunday morning, with the joy of the Lord in your hearts, knowing that you've prepared the night before and you're now ready to worship the living God in his house.
Yeah, it's obvious what you're saying is church is important. And just as you would prepare for an important event in your life, oh, your wedding day or something like that, a job interview, we treat church as important because we come together to worship the living God together, to edify one another and use our spiritual gifts. And our big day that we meet is one day of the week, although there's lots of Bible studies and other things going on too. So I appreciate that emphasis on preparation.
And let's keep in mind, we have this tendency to think of Sunday as the day we tack on at the end of the week. It's actually the beginning of the week. The Lord's Day starts the week. So let's even rethink how we think in those terms.
Yeah. So while we're at church, how should we think about that? What can we do while we're at church in order to get the most out of church?
I'm going to run through these real quickly so you can just jot these down at home, pull the car off the side of the road. What to do while we're at church to get the most out of church. Number one, arrive punctually. Means what it says, get there on time. Number two, fellowship intentionally. Look for those people that maybe you haven't talked to yet, that you've been wanting to share with, that you've been wanting to encourage. Three, sing loudly. Open those mouths and use those pipes and sing praises to the Lord.
Love that one.
Yeah, you do. Four, pray actively, like we just talked about. Pray before the service. You can be praying during the service. You can be praying in little gaps that we have in our order of service for each next phase of the worship service that's going to take place. Five, listen attentively and actively. You know, the preacher is not up there giving a lecture. He's preaching the word of God. So be up there, be out there listening. Taking notes is a very helpful way to engage the mind, whether you're doing it on a tablet or on a piece of paper. That's number five. Number six, serve faithfully. Think of church as a place where you have been called to deploy a spiritual gift of some sort that God has given you to minister in his body. So don't show up at church thinking this is a place I'm going to get a whole lot of things, but what can I give in terms of the gifting the Lord has given me to serve his church? And then the last one is leave strategically. That kind of sounds weird, but I had to put an adverb in that one. Leave strategically means don't be quick to just take off. You know, don't be just rushing out the door to get to lunch or just because you're uncomfortable or your palms are sweaty and you're anxious and you want to get out of here. Think about ways you can stay here, minister to people, encourage people, pray with for people, and just enjoy the fellowship. So leave strategically means don't rush out the door, as many can be prone to do. You know, box check them out of here, but stay. Really have this place be the center, not only of your Sunday, but of your life.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That's a great list. And what I hear you say is, yeah, treat church as an important day. Treat the people there with love and respect. Follow what Hebrews 10 says. Consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. And you hit on that with so many of those practical tips. You know, don't rush out, but like, talk to people, and don't think about what you can get out of the church service. Think about what you give when you interact with people and use your gifts. Do you have any last words before we close out the podcast?
Yeah, I can't remember who says this, but I've used it a few times in sermons, but church is an outpost of heaven, a little slice, a little taste of what heaven will be like. So I'd encourage our listeners to act like it. Knowing that church is this little glimpse of heaven, let's act like it. And then last, like always, 2 Timothy 1:13, retain the standard of sound words, which you have heard from me, in the faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus.
That's so good. Thank you for listening, everyone. Hope you have a great day.